And in our exercise of late, looking at the Spirit of God's ministry, and in particular of late, reminding ourselves that we are in the presence of God. That's pretty awesome. But we don't know it. We don't know it, but we are. So, we've been seeking to try to remind ourselves how to handle being in the presence of God and sort of being dumb about the whole thing. Trying to handle that, to enjoy that. So, and the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to bring forth the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, just to remind ourselves, the Spirit of God in his wonderful ministry is to outwork God's wonderful person. God's wonderful person, and you must honor his name, as you'll see, if the Lord tarries. You have to honor his name. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. The name singular. Singular. God. Not Allah. Not all that. That doesn't honor his name. His name. How can we know his name? Our Lord went to Calvary's cross to die. The Lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And the Spirit of God's ministry, God the Father sent the Son to make it possible to know God. The Spirit of God's ministry is to take all that God made possible in his redemptive work and bring it home to the heart. For what reason? That we could enjoy and know God in his awesome person. Now, having said that and keeping that in mind, if you would, and therefore, in doing it, our Lord sets the pace. He's a sinless Son of God. He's perfectly human and wonderfully God. He has a human nature, as we shared last time, which the human nature is always the human nature, and the God's nature is always God's. They never come like this. The human nature never enjoys God in that sense. God is God, human is human. They come together in a unique oneness called Jesus Christ, born in Bethlehem. One person, in order to know the person of God, to be able to understand God. So when you're baptized in the name, singular, of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, singular, to know his name. I will not ever let my name be polluted. So all that's less than his name and other than his name, that doesn't address him properly and understand him, is not acceptable. So, therefore, Christ, the Spirit of God's ministry, is to help us to enjoy the name of God. So, John chapter 5, just to remind ourselves, you know all these things, but as we get there, sort of stepping stone to get there. John chapter 5, remember, if you would, picking up in verse 18, therefore the Jews sought the more to kill him because he not only had broken the Sabbath, but said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Now you say, well, I wouldn't do that. A Jewish person would, because they're they're ingrained in this. So they know when Jesus said, "My Father," you have to be God related. Nicodemus chapter 3. "No man can do what you do," he said to the Lord at night, "except God be with him." No one can do that. No one. So therefore, they understood our Lord Jesus, that he was saying he and God had a unique arrangement. So when we come to verse 19, "Then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, most assuredly, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. But that for what things soever he doeth, these also doeth the Son likewise." So therefore, our Lord is representing us humans. He's going to pay the price for us humans and die on the cross. And in the process, he understands that his humanity is to exercise and enjoy God's deity. And therefore, the Lord Jesus, perfect man, remember, you're created, Genesis 1, in the image and likeness of God. So, as you understand that, and as we need to understand it, we're to enjoy God in our humanity. God is to enjoy himself in our humanity as we enjoy God in his awesomeness. So, and therefore, it isn't about us humans. It's about us humans enjoying our Creator and Savior. It's about us humans being able to let God be our God and our Savior. Actually letting God do that with understanding. So, I do nothing of myself. I am here to represent God and show God in a unique way. So when he goes to the cross, he's able to say, "As my Father sent me, so send I you." I am going to be God in me. He dies on the cross. He's in human, God's, the Lord Jesus Christ, his humanity and his deity is one. Now, God, seated at the right hand of God in his resurrection, here is our Lord, God the Son, in order to find his home in your heart, just like in Jesus Christ, to save us humans, to fulfill the wonderful purpose you're created, to enjoy God, God's person. So, without me, he said, you can do nothing, and you know it a thousand ways. Verse 30, I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not my own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. And if, verse 31, I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. I've missed the boat. It isn't about my standing in front of you just to be me. It's about me standing in front of you to know God. It isn't about me. It's about him. It isn't about the piece of wood. It's about the carpenter who made it. It's about the painting. The painting's wonderful, but it's the painter that gets the glory, not the painting. The painter gets the glory. Now, so, and do it again one more time, as you know. You know, you could do this better than I can. All I'm doing is trying to remind ourselves what should just be standard thought in our head, just like that. Just think it. And you'll pick it up in the morning if the Lord tarries. So, chapter 8, all kinds of places, but that's the normal little routine. And in chapter 8, verse 28, the Lord Jesus said, verse 28, then said Jesus unto them, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall you know that I am he, that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me, is with me. The Father hath not left me alone. Why? For I do always those things that please him. So God wants to find his home in the human heart, so that you enjoy a unique God. And like it's going to come up all over the place. That's like the branch abiding. That's what you're going to see in a bit here. The branch abiding. The branch expresses the tree. The human expresses God. God. A relationship to God. They aren't God. They have a relationship to God. To show God, that's different. That's different. Now, therefore, and you know, putting that just a little different way, you know, if you went to John chapter 15, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, verse 5, and without me you can do what? Nothing, same word. I do nothing of myself, but without God in you, you do nothing, and I do nothing. 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 Nothing means nothing. That's what it means. We're busy. You could build a cathedral. You could have whatever way you want. God said it's nothing. Nothing. But how can that be nothing? And we turn away from God. Because he isn't accepting who we are and what we do. So, therefore, having said that little bit, and keeping that in mind, and so the Spirit of God is essential in doing what he does, all that he does. And when you're in John, go over to chapter 14 for a minute. All of this is just a review for you and for me. And lock it in. Lock it in. Chapter 14, John. Now picking up, please. Our Lord's going to the cross, etc. Chapter 14, verse 16. I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another of the same kind, comforter, encouragement, someone to come and support us and aid us. Purpose that he may abide with you forever. He is the Spirit of truth, verse 17, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you, and he's going to be with you. So the Spirit of God was keeping them for 3 1/3 years. Now, sliding over chapter 15, as you would guess, you have all the, just lining it up. Verse 15, 26, when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me, and you shall also bear witness, because you have been with me from the beginning. So, Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to represent God the Father sends and God the Son send the Spirit of God to honor the person and work of Jesus Christ, which is what we said. And chapter 16, 13, howbeit when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, For he will not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak. He will show you things to come. And the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to represent all that God made possible by way of Calvary's cross. Verse 14, he shall glorify me. Why? For he shall receive of mine and shall show it unto you. So the Spirit of God's wonderful, wonderful ministry is to do what it does as only it can be done. So when we get saved, John chapter 3, and picking up in verse 5. And Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit of God, Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. So you have to have a wonderful, wonderful birth, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God that honors God in a most wonderful way. And when you receive the Lord as your Savior, you know you're going, you know, to turn there. 1 Corinthians 6, 19, 20. What do you know? You're bought with a price. And the Spirit of God says, you're not your own anymore. You're mine. You don't belong to you. You're mine. And you learn to switch gears and let God see everything. That's what we've been trying to read. I do nothing of myself, said the Lord. So we're seeing it. We're letting it change a relationship to enjoy and practice a relationship to God. We have one to the air, which we can't see. But boy, we breathe it in. We don't understand it. There's all kinds of dust and everything, you know. When's the last time you dusted your inside? When's the last time you did that? You don't do that. No. You breathe it all in, so all that life. And boy, you don't question it. You breathe it. We're in the presence of God. And we have air for physical life and to enjoy God for spiritual life. So, and we're bought with a price. And therefore, we're to glorify God as God. And we're, Ephesians, you know, chapter 4. It's trying to keep you busy. And in Ephesians, and in chapter 4, picking up, please, if I may, in verse 30, and grieve not, don't grieve, 4:30, Ephesians, don't hinder the Spirit of God, don't sadden him, grieve not the Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Don't grieve the Spirit of God. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice and badness. And be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you, has already forgiven you, and you and I are enjoying a relationship because we have been forgiven. And that forgiveness goes all the way to our death, where we put away this body of sin, all this old sin nature. And God covers all the bases. So we walk with the Lord in the light of his word. That's what we do. The blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin as we go down the corridor of kind. And if we get loused up, and we do, and then John 1:9, we confess our sin. He's faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And God helps us understand the fact that you've been forgiven. Exercise the fact that you have been forgiven already. Show me you've been forgiven by forgiving. Forgiving. We do. We forgive. Why? Because God has forgiven us. That's how we show it. I forgive. What am I doing? I'm showing forgiveness. I forgive you. You forgive me. Hear me. What am I showing? I have been forgiven. That's what you're doing. You're showing you have been forgiven because you are forgiving. And you aren't forgiving, you aren't showing it. That's what you're doing. Now, and keeping that in mind, and you just don't quench the Spirit of God. Quench, that's a good word. Over to Thessalonians. And in 1 Thessalonians, if I can, in 1 Thessalonians and chapter 5, and you read, oh, God's will, God's word, and God's way, God's wonderful, wonderful working. So, and in the process, chapter 5, and you've got rejoice evermore, present imperative, keep rejoicing. Verse 17, pray without ceasing, present tense, command, keep on doing it. And in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Keep on doing it, giving thanks. Verse 19, and quench not, don't put water, don't try to throw water on God's wonderful working. God's a fire. My word is a fire. As a hammer, my word. My word is a fire. Let it do its job. Don't quench. Don't tell me, said God. That's what they did to Israel, you know. In Israel, they went and did what? They limited the God of Israel. Can God make bread? Can God? Wrong thing. That's what they did. And when God did it, it wasn't enough. Can God? Don't do that. Don't throw water. God's being God. Let him do so. Let him be God. Practicing the presence of God. Thank you. In quietness and confidence. You should be saved. Excuse me. In returning in rest, you should be saved. And in quietness and confidence shall be your strength. Now, having said that little bit and keeping that in mind, so God's wonderful, wonderful working. Yeah. Now, you say, what did you do in Sunday school? Oh, we did the old stuff. That's what we did. That's what we did. He went over everything. So what? The day will come. That's why our Lord said in Isaiah 28, you keep saying it. John D.L. Moody said it too. How come you keep telling us to be born again? Because you got to be born again. How come you keep telling us something? Well, I know it. Can you practice it? That's the question. Do you practice this truth as a way of life? Well, no. Then you better hear it again. Hear it again till you can practice it. Till you don't even have a question. I have to practice it because without him I can do nothing. I have to practice it. So it isn't even a question. You got to get there. How many believers you think are there? You see, across the country. So, having said that, communion, very good. 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians. And in chapter 13. And you will notice, what are we going to do with it? 2 Corinthians chapter 13, picking up, please, in going right to the end. 2 Corinthians 13, the last statement, verse 14. And the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God, Father, Son, and the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Ghost. That's what Spirit of God is trying to tell you. It's my job to do this. I enjoy doing it. I want us to do it together. That's what Spirit of God says. I want to do this. And God said, join me, fellowship, communion of the Holy Ghost. Not only communion, go over to Romans chapter 15. And Romans in chapter 15, and you pick up another information, as you know. And this is the only place that this is said. Chapter 15, going to verse 30, if I may. Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for this is the reason I'm telling you these things is because of the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 30, by means of the love of the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God wants fellowship, and he loves doing the job. He loves the believer. He loves them. Wants to have fellowship and loves to do so. Now, you can't ask for more than that, if you ask me. So, God, do you care? You say, do you care? Yeah. God said, I do care. I love caring. I want you to cooperate. I want you to enjoy my wonderful person. That's what I want. I enjoy being your God, he said. I want you to enjoy God, wonderful person again. So in the light of that, and Adam, as you know, we all have the old nature that we have in the process. Now, all of that is to lead us to where we want to look. Galatians. And in Galatians in chapter 5, and you will note Galatians 5, picking up, please, going directly to verse 22. But the word fruit is in the singular, like the word name, Matthew 28, 19. At the baptized in the name, singular. Fruit. Singular. Fruit. The whole, here's the tree, here's the branch, and everything in the branch that makes leaves and fruit. The whole ball of wax. The whole thing. God. That's right. The Spirit, the fruit of the Spirit of God. He's bringing us the wholeness of God's wonderful person in the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so therefore, the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to do that a little bit because that you want to know if you're going to abide, practice abiding. Without me, you can do nothing. So if I practice abiding, God is going to be what? God. God, how are you going to be God? He said, I'm going to tell you. I'm going to give you nine attributes, nine little fruits. There are only one fruit, one big cluster of grapes, one big cluster. The nine represent all of God. You can't do it all. We don't have enough. How do we, God, What are you like? Why? So I said, I'm going to give you nine little fruits that represent the fruit, the whole, all of God in a most wonderful way to enjoy God in his fullness. And you know in your Bible, without turning there at this point, Colossians 2 and 9 and 10, Jesus Christ is full of God. And Jesus Christ in you, Colossians 2 and 10, is full of God in you. Full of God. Communion, fellowship, he loves, and he's full of God. So, now, having said that, in order to exercise that a little bit and to enjoy it, and if I can, let's do it A and then B. Go over with me, hold your finger here, and go over to the Gospel of Mark, as you would know, the Gospel of Mark in chapter 7. Mark in chapter 7. And you remember God, the Lord Jesus Christ, explaining our old sin nature in the light of our eating and drinking. So it isn't something we ate that made us sin. Sin isn't something you ate. You can't eat sin. You could be a eat too much and get sick, but you don't, nothing goes in is sin. So it's not a problem then. Now, by that sense, it isn't sin. It's what happened. Sin can make you sick, drugs can make you bad, and that's the problem with drugs. So, chapter 7, in the context, in verse 17, and when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without, outside, to go into your mouth, without, entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? It isn't going to do it. It's just what it is. What it is. Verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart. You can't eat stuff to go into your heart. You eat stuff for your physical body. Your heart is whole. You, the person, don't need to eat. As long as you live in the body, you need to eat. As a person, you don't eat and drink. You have life. But in the body, you need to have the food and everything to sustain it. So it isn't, your body isn't, you are a whole, you are you when your body's you, something else. Now, chapter 7, because of verse 19, because it entereth not into his heart, but into his belly, and goeth out into the drought, purging all meats. It goes in and goes out in a most wonderful way. And as you think about all these things and the marvel of God's creation, here's your body, here's your stomach, and you put the stuff in your stomach, and it makes soup down there. Makes a bunch of soup stuff, bunch of soup. And then a little latchet down there to go into your small intestine, if I remember right, small intestine. And it automatically only lets so much food into your small intestine to digest. Just clockwork. Letting the food never lets a lot, just a little, out of your body, going to digest it. I don't know how I designed that, do you? How would you ever do that? Well, anyway, I don't get tied up. Now, so, and he said, verse 20, he said that which cometh out of a man, that out of the man, that defileth him. It's what's in your heart. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man. Now, wait. So what's inside? It's my heart. I got a heart problem. The heart is defiled. It needs to get saved. God needs to pay the price for my heart. How am I going to pay the price? He's going to have to take care of it. How are you going to take care of it? Take a pill? No. I'm going to go. As far as I'm concerned, I'm going to save you. I die. Therefore, when I go to the cross, I'm going to take your whole body, your whole heart, I'm going to go and pay the price. And all I want you to do, once I pay the price, and you've been forgiven, sins are buried, you have my wonderful relationship to me called the resurrection life, the life, eternal life, exercise it. That's what to do. So that's your gut. It's just evil. And you have to reckon itself dead. That's all. Just count it as dead. Don't play with it. Don't wrestle with it. Don't try to fix it. It isn't going to be fixed. I got to fix my discouragement. I got to fix my depression. I got to fix my disappointment. I got to fix. Well, why were you disappointed? Because you expected something or wanted something from somebody somehow. You maybe need to rethink. Why were you disappointed? If you saw humanity as it is, you should never be disappointed. I'll never disappoint you, said God. So why are you depressed? Why are you depressed? Why are you depressed? Ask yourself, why? You don't need to be. I set you free from disappointment, depression, discouragement. I set you free from it. Why do you have it? Because you went back into your old nature and tried to work it. And that's what you don't want to have to do. And therefore, Galatians chapter 5. And in Galatians in chapter 5, picking up, if I may, as you would know, Galatians 5, and picking up, please, verse 16. And in the context, what it all comes together, I hope you're seeing that. Chapter 5, here we're looking at the same problem that Mark chapter 7 does, only we're looking at it from a different window. Chapter 5, Galatians, going if I can, verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. But if you bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So there, God's going to give us a wonderful, wonderful, fruitful vine to the tree. Just enjoy the weather, the snow, the ice, and whatever comes and goes, and the bugs and the birds and the bees. Just enjoy the whole thing. Just enjoy it. Stay attached. Be abiding. And the Spirit of God will take care of that lust, that old sin nature, because you're abiding and you're reckoning yourself dead. And understand, God told you to trust God and thank God that you have a relationship to Him that overrides and outranks your relationship to your old nature. So, now, but in order to help us, verse 17, For the flesh lusteth, there's your word again, desire. For the flesh lusteth desires against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary one to the other, so that you cannot do the things that you would. So you're not comfortable anymore. And that's good. That's a good sign. Good sign that you get looking to God. I'm not happy with the way it is. I used to be, it didn't matter to me. But it isn't true anymore. It matters. It makes a difference in my life. So, the Spirit of God, conflict in the heart, war in the heart, like in Peter. Verse 18, but if you be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. So God, the Spirit of God's wonderful ministry is to be a fruit, give you a wonderful abiding as the branch to the tree, a wonderful abiding fullness of God, all of the benefits of God's awesome person, love, joy, peace, and everything. Now, what's conflict in your heart? Mark chapter 7, all these evil thieves are evil, the evil, all the sin nature. Verse 19, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. So that's your old sin nature. And if you don't get your relationship to God, you're still lost, and you need to get saved. But you got an old sin nature, and the old sin nature is against the fruit of the Spirit of God. Now, so there's no middle ground. You have an old sin nature, and you have the Spirit of God. So you have old sin nature on the one hand, and Spirit of God on the other. There's nothing in the middle. The old sin nature hates the new nature. The new nature hates the old nature. So there's no middle ground. There's no way halfway. There's no halfway. There is no halfway. Either you reckon yourself dead. That sounds like an event that's finished. You're dead. What else are we going to talk about? What else do you want to talk about? The dead guy says, I'm dead. So what else is there to talk about? There's nothing to talk about. You're dead. And the cemetery's there that you can go visit it and talk to them again. And they keep telling you, we're dead. Look at the stone and go away. You see, you're not going to do anything. We're dead. So, having said that, keeping that in mind, so here's the fruit of the Spirit of God. It is wonderful when we're to walk in newness of life in God's wonderful, wonderful way and bear fruit. And bearing fruit, without Him, we can do nothing. Fruit. We're to enjoy that relationship to God in a most wonderful way, and a relationship. So we're going to go, another way to say that is Matthew in chapter 11, and verse 11 and 28, 29 and 30, and the Lord Jesus said, learn of me, let it be part of your wonderful experience. I don't want you to have an intellect. I want you to have an experiential. You would never hear it most of the time, people talking. God had meant you, the whole Christian life is an experience. It's an experience you're to have, not something you put in a notebook. You're supposed to have an experience of life. You have an experience of physical life. We're all physically, we experience physical life. We need to experience our relationship to God. Now, having said that, and keeping that in mind, so God has the branch in order to enjoy Christ, learn of me. Get your learning from me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. That's what I want you to do. So it isn't a tough job. It's an easy thing. As you'll catch coming up, if the Lord tarries in the morning. It's an easy thing. God, you did it. Huh? You didn't do it. God said, I did it. I'm the one that created you in your unique, awesome body. I made it. And I want you to know I'm not trusting the body. I'm trusting your relationship that you have to me in your body. So you're looking to me, and that relationship you have to me helps you understand all your other relationships. And therefore, God, here we are going, and we're going to abide and learn, put the yoke upon us and learn, God. So therefore, and in doing so, over if I can, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 1. 1 Corinthians in chapter 1. And you remember, and the world looks, and the world says what it says. Now remember, in order to enjoy God, you have to understand the natural man. Go on, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. The natural man receiveth not, N-O-T, the things of the Spirit of God, but they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Think of the AMFN illustration we used. You have to have a relation to God. You don't have a relation to God, all this goes right out the window, in one ear or out the other, because you can't do anything with it. You can't do anything with it. So therefore, the natural, it's foolishness. Back over to chapter 1, verse 18. So therefore, for the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. So if you're looking for people to understand, and probably the most a large, if not sometime the worst hindrance, isn't an unsaved person. It's a saved person. And you're looking to a saved person, and they don't have it. And therefore, they tend to discuss, we just did them Bible school and all that. When you go, always find us. That was, this is years ago, man. Years ago, I remember, find the believers that are really working at it. Otherwise, you'll get caught up in the school system and you'll come out like the rest of them and you won't have anything. Because we got all the Bible believers and all the schools and all the graduates. And look where our system is. If all of that was successful, man, we should be in better shape across the country. But we aren't. We aren't. No. So find what to do. So stop. I wouldn't look for Jeanette or anyone. If I'm going to enjoy God's wonderful person, I have to understand, draw a circle, because other people may not encourage you to do so. So I do so. I don't want to do that. I have something else going in my little head, and that's what I'm trusting. And that's more valuable and important than anything else right now. That's what I'm looking to. God, don't let anything rob you. That's what I'm doing. God, don't. Foolishness. Look it over. You'll see it. Verse 22. I'll read verse 21. Let's see. Are we having choir? Yeah. No choir. We got another 2 minutes. Okay. Verse 21. For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews, reason, the Jews require a sign. Show me the sign. The only sign I'm going to show them is the sign of the prophet Jonah, 3 days and three nights, the resurrection. The Jews require a sign, verse 22, and the Greeks, the Gentiles, seek after wisdom, professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. Verse 23, we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks, Gentiles, foolishness, but unto them which is called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Wow. And God, wow, you're going to do that. Yep, I'm going to do that. God, you're going to go on. God said, just draw a little circle and read and rest in it and let God do what he does with thanksgiving in your heart and do that. And you'll find it comes out pretty good. It comes out. Because you're letting yourself, you're trying to eat the food, let the word of God, the food, get into you, receive it, and let it get digested. Digest it. If you don't digest it, you'll either vomit it up or it goes right through. I want to digest the nutrients. That's why the small intestine, only so much food, only so fast, so it can digest the food. I want it to translate into life. Thank you, God. That's all we're trying to do now, is try to take a few minutes this morning. So when we do Galatians 5:22, it may sit more comfortably with you. And you got it.